30 minutes as the world turns.
For viewers of the CBS soap opera As the World Turns, first word came at about 1:40 p.m. Eastern Time. It happened too quickly for cameras to be in place.
And I gave it a great deal of thought, Grandpa.
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
Then it was back to the soap opera, but not for long. Soon after, Walter Cronkite was back, reporting from the CBS newsroom, complete with rotary telephones and wire machines.
This picture has just been transmitted by wire. It is a picture taken just a moment or two before the incident. If you can zoom in with that camera, we can get a closer look at this picture.
And almost exactly 1 hour after his initial bulletin, this now famous announcement.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th President of the United States.
You know, folks, this is one of the most profound moments of my life. And it's something that we tend to brush over because, you know, 55 years ago today, here on Thanksgiving Day, 55 years ago, that is almost impossible to say, isn't it? 55 years ago today, shots rang out. I think that was one of the first clips that came out. Shots rang out. And it was amazing. And when those shots rang out, they immediately said three shots rang out. They, from the very beginning, they had the narrative pretty much laid out there for us as to exactly what was going on. It was one of the most profound moments. I wrote a little bit about that today. Profound moment. I was in the fifth grade Miss Headley's class, and I remember the principal came over. James Gall was the principal. So I was fifth grade. Well, how old is that? 11 years old. I remember it vividly. The principal comes over the public address system and, well, no, let me back up. I'd gone to the restroom. The bathroom was right next door to our class, old school building. Right next door to our class was the boys' bathroom. I walked in the boys' bathroom and there was a bus driver, and her name is Mr. Wendell. I even remember that, profoundly frozen in my mind. I walked in to go to the bathroom, all the urinals against the wall, and Mr. Wendell was in there. And I walked in, it was just he and I in there, and he looked at me and he said, "Did you hear the news?" He didn't call my name because they didn't know me. I said, "No, what?" 11 years old, right? Because President Kennedy was just shot. Of course, I ran back into the room real quick to tell Miss Headley. Of course, she's panicked, as you can probably imagine. I remember very vividly that Mr. Gall, the principal, came over the public address system and announced to us that the president had been shot, and led us in prayer. I remember that vividly. Remember that. And then those of you who were alive at that time will remember the nation was like those next 4 days. Assassination of Lee Harvey Oswald and the parade and the little John salute and all that time. It was the day America died. I really believe that. It's one of the things I wrote about today. November 22nd, 1963, the day America died. That would be a trip. If you've never done it, if you're just looking for you want to do a tourism trip, Dealey Plaza is worth it. If you've studied history of it at all, and I didn't see Dealey Plaza until about 6 or 7 years ago, I think it was, even though I was a big Kennedy freak when I was a young kid after he got shot, memorized his inaugural dress and all that kind of stuff. And when I saw When I was about 55, I think, when I first made it to Dealey Plaza. When I walked into set foot on Dealey Plaza, and the X marks the spot out there on the road at the X where the shooting took place, I knew as soon as I walked in there that they drove him right into a trap. There's absolutely no doubt about it. You'd have to see a visual. Jared, I don't know. See if you can pull that up real quickly. Dealey Plaza. You young folks, you may not get it. You young folks may not get it. But Dealey Plaza, Jared's pulled it up there. Okay, so if you, Jared's got the pointer there. Good, Jared, thanks. See, when he comes down Main Street to Houston Street, Jared, can you kind of do that? If you point, there you go. Okay, now good. Now he's going to turn right and go down. That's Houston Street. Boom. Now that's right there is what they call Elm Street. The school book depository, you see it right there on the corner. Oswald supposedly was in the sixth floor of the school book depository. Well, he turns left and he heads down Elm Street. So right there, Jared, boom, right where your marker is, about where he was shot, right in front of the what they call the grassy knoll. But folks, I want you to notice something. Look, hey, Jared, go back to where I had you on Main Street. If he would have continued on Main Street, he would have ended up right in the same spot. You see that? So for some reason, they drove him into a nest of assassins. And he shot, you know, you can do the history on it. He was shot probably by, there may have been as many as six different people who were shooting there that day. So I would say to you again, if you've never been to Dealey Plaza, it's a place to go. And they have it right about there where it says Elm Street. If you can zoom in, maybe you can see it, probably can. There's still an X right there where the assassination took place. You can go up behind the grassy knoll and stand and look at it. And that's the day America died, folks, because from that point, two things happened at that point. Number one, a massive, massive public cover-up began the day we lost our government, no doubt about it. And that was the biggest thing. And then number two thing that happened is our government was seized at that point, and we have not had, in my opinion, an independent president since November 22nd, 19. That's today, 55 years ago. Anybody else out there have any profound memories of that day? To me, this impacts more than Thanksgiving. I'm going to get to Thanksgiving here in a minute, but anybody have any memories about that day? Wow. Because see, it's even worse. It's even more profound for my generation than 9/11. 9/11 was pretty profound. 9/11 was probably profound for people who are in their 30s or in their 40s. That's probably, but for the guys who are my age and above, nothing changed America Dealey Plaza.
Well, I was going to say, Dave, that there's a couple of things. See, you can remember exact details of that experience, and that how long ago was that? 55 years. And my dad relayed the same thing to me about him finding out at his school. Now, but I'll tell you this, that there are people like George Bush and Richard Nixon that have no idea where they were that day.
Yeah, all right.
Now, how can that be?
Well, we know, don't we, brother? We know. Yeah. And so, here's one of the comparisons I'm making. And I don't know where the show's going to go. Bear with me a second. You do understand that President Donald Trump is dealing with the exact same people. You understand that, don't you? We are 55 years down the road, and Donald Trump is merely dealing with a more deeply entrenched deep state. That's what's going on. And Jared, in fact, I wasn't going to jump off here, but I've already jumped off here, right? Jared, go to the next video. This is 5 minutes long. This is the speech that got John F. Kennedy killed. This is it. Somebody put this piece together, but you tell me if these aren't the same people after Donald Trump. Go ahead, Jared.
Violently forward.
All truths are easy to understand once you come to the point where you discover it. JFK tried to warn all of us untold evil, connected the dots all the way back to 1913 via the creation of the illegal income taxes in the Federal Reserve. Yes.
President John F. Kennedy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it.
Amen.
And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control.
Wow.
And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine.
Amen.
That combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations.
Wow.
Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, for I have complete confidence. And the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
JFK begged the media to alert the American people, and the media did not. Who owns the Federal Reserve thereby controls the media and the Department of Education, not to mention the highly influences the politicians we elect and the U.S. court. Hey, man, there it is. Who had the power to suppress the speech? Why were you never taught this speech in school and even spoken of in church? OMG. Who is JFK referring to as tightly knit. So here we are, 55 years later, still dealing with the exact same thing. Let me open it up. What's anybody got to say about it?
Well, I was in the 10th grade.
And damn, you're older than me, Larry.
When they made the announcement. And even high school students sat there, and I don't think there was a dry face in the room. I mean, we recognized, we might not have understood the ramifications, but we recognized that something valuable to our way of life and our country was gone.
Mm-hmm. Camelot, Larry, remember it was Camelot. It was morning in America, really morning in America in 1960, coming out of the war, and the economy was prospering. But see, behind all that, folks, again, tinfoil hat, but we know it's not even tinfoil hat anymore. You know, the Federal Reserve, the removal of silver had already been taken out of them. 1964, they removed silver out of the coinage. Nixon in, what was it, 72 or 73, did away with the gold standard. Our entire economic system absolutely uprooted. The war in Vietnam. I say the day America died because a coup took place 55 years ago in America today, and 55 years ago today in America. And isn't it amazing that here we are 55 years later and we are fighting the exact same battle, except they're more entrenched. They're more deeply entrenched. And how the average American still doesn't get it, still doesn't understand, still cannot recognize the times in which we live. Somebody else, come on in.
Well, there's tape of Jackie Kennedy, Onassis, saying that Lyndon Johnson killed her husband. And there's tape, audio tape of Bobby Kennedy saying the same thing. So then you get Bobby Kennedy killed as well. If you look at all of the presidential assassinations and assassination attempts, they all advanced the globalist solution. And remember when Reagan was shot in the first couple months of his presidency?
Right.
Okay. And who was going to be the new president? And had he been
George H.W. Bush, right?
Who was a former head of the CIA.
Who didn't know where he was. Couldn't remember where he was the day that Kennedy was shot. That's what Chad was alluding to, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's profound. It's really, really pretty profound where we are.
While you're on the Reagan shooting, it would behoove you to know that, in fact, the Hinckley family had lunch with the Bush family 1 week prior to that shooting of Reagan.
And so young John just went crazy a week later, huh?
Yeah,
young
suddenly. John? Suddenly.
Mm-hmm. And see, folks, we know this, and here we are. Come on, this is America, right? 55 years later, and they still will not release so we can see what happened. And see, they say that they won't do that because why? Poppy Bush, too deeply involved with it. And it is only at his passing are they going to maybe at that point expose. What did Kennedy talk about? The openness. No hiding of facts, no hiding of information. And what is Donald Trump speaking about today? The deep state. And we don't want to believe it, right? And so I had somebody say to me, I simply, by the way, banned on Facebook again. I'm telling you, I posted on Facebook the other day, just a video about what took place in the fires, and people, it's amazing to me. People are typing me and say, "Oh yeah, well, who's doing it then? Who's doing it? Is Trump letting it happen? You're crazy." I said, "Really? See, they don't understand the deep state. They don't understand 55 years later what President Kennedy was telling. They don't understand the rogue elements of our government. They don't understand the deep state. They don't get it. Still don't get it. They don't understand that the president of the United States merely enforces policy. He don't make it. Up until now, 55 years later. Where's Michael Andrews when I need him? Tell him what double fives is. That's 10. Or he'd say 5 times 5 is 25 and 2 plus 5 is 7 and 7's a per. You know, I don't know, man. We are. This game is being replayed right now in Technicolor right in front of
me. Yep.
Hey, somebody else. Yeah.
Hey, Coach. Good morning. Yes, I think I'm going to play that video Sunday morning for the congregation. I think that'd amazing. Be a good.
Isn't it amazing?
Well, I'm teaching on the Pharisees' complicity with the Herodians and their agenda to destroy Christ. I think this would be a good segue.
Amen. That element's always at work, aren't they? And they've been more deeply entrenched. They've had 55 years to now take in. Think of the educational system. Think of the education system. Just go right there to that and talk about the infiltration of our educational system, the education that we have today, 55 years later, to what we had in 1963. It's just overwhelming. I pick any institution. They've infiltrated the seminary. They've taken over the churches. What did Kennedy say? Infiltration, not invasion. Infiltration, not invasion. Boy, oh boy. More things change, more than the same. Anybody else? For I'll switch topics here in a second.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Coach. Hey, I thought that was a really thought-provoking article you did this morning. And I think you're right. I think I was 3 months old when Kennedy was shot, so I don't remember it. But it is very similar, and I thought your article was timely because I think many of us are wondering, is Trump the real deal?
Pull that up. Or
is he just part of the deep state? And I like what you said. I think we are going to know in the next 30 days one way or the other. But we still need to pray for him, like you're saying. He is our president, and we need to pray that, you know, God's will be done.
Amen, George. I think Jared's trying to pull that up for me. Believe it or not, these all connect together. And I don't know. Okay, I told my wife when I was just before I came down, I said, I think the Lord's putting together a pretty good one.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Jared, you're working to get that out there, right?
I think it's interesting in that speech how JFK had mentioned about secret societies, and then yet here you have Newt Gingrich saying that Trump's not part of the club.
Yeah, right. Well, we know these secret societies now exist. And see, the media does it. Boys, I got a lot to share with you today. Listen, let me, Jared, before I read that, because this is fresh on my mind. You guys know that over the last about 10 days, they've had all types of glitches on social media. Facebook was down for a while yesterday. What are the five? Facebook, Instagram, Amazon, YouTube is the fifth one, I think. They've all been down at some point in the last 10 days. Down meaning weren't functioning properly. And I came across something. Jared, let's pull that up there, Jared. Pull up Facebook shutdown. See if you can pull that up there real quick. I'm sorry, before we go to which team is President Trump playing for. I just, you know, guys, all you got to do is just look around, just connect the dots. Look at this. This is yesterday. Facebook and Instagram go down in second snag this week. Really? Really? Now, Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, they've done everything that they can do to ban exactly what JFK was talking about. To ban any alternative information. They're totally, completely trying to control information. So boys and girls, here's where the old tinfoil hat on me. I'm going to put on my cheese hat. I'll put on my Rob Pugh hat because I don't think it's tinfoil hat. Here's what I think. I think they're setting up a social media shutdown when all this crap breaks. That's what I think. So when all this crap breaks loose, that you're going to have to go to CNN and Fox and ABC and them, and they're going to tell us what's going on rather than giving us the real information. You're not able to go and get on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and go into the back room and find all this stuff. That's what I think is getting ready to happen. What I think is getting ready to happen. So there you see Facebook. And if you read down through this article, you're going to find out it says it's happened to all five of them in the last 10 days. They go down. Why do they go down? Well, I'll be darned. Facebook's down today. Well, why is that? Because they're trying to figure out one button they can hit that will shut them all down.
Well, Dave, I think you're exactly right. And they can't stop what's the information that's going to be released. So they can stop
how it's going to be released.
How it's interpreted. They want it to go through Walter Cronkite again.
That's right. They want to filter through their own operation. That way they can water it down.
Nothing new under the sun, boys. Nothing new under the sun. So, Jared, pull up the commentary I wrote today, because I just believe these all connect together. And I asked this question, and I know that's a question of many people here in the queue. Whose team is President Trump playing for? I don't know if I've ever seen a public figure as hard to figure out as President Trump. Certainly no one who has ever been elected to the presidency has been more of a battle axe than he. He has forged a political coalition that has baffled even the most seasoned political scientists. Which team is President Trump playing on? Is he part of the deep state and his promise to drain the swamp merely a diabolical diversion for what is actually orchestrating? Or is he really one of us, a man who's promised to deliver our government back into the hands of we the people? Which team is President Trump playing on? We won't know very soon. I have to confess that I was on the Trump train very early and that my public endorsement of him garnered much opposition from those who would normally be supporting the same values-driven candidate as me. My support of him cost me many friends, some of all of the fences still have not been mended. But I saw something early in him that told me that one need not be a man of God in order to be God's man. That's a great line, isn't it? That you need not be a man of God in order to be God's man. I still hold that position and am a supporter of his today. But I understand the anxiety many of my friends suffer. If he is really going to drain the swamp, isn't it about time he called the Roto-Rooter man? Again, we're going to know very soon. One of the things that really troubles me about some of my Christian friends is their inability or unwillingness to root for him. It's almost as if they have made up their minds that he is not God's man and refuse to support him even 2 years into his term in office. Stubborn as they are, I wonder if they follow the Bible's mandate to pray for our leader, but instead secretly hope he fails so that they will have been proven right about his character, shortcomings, and his fitness for the office. I would hope that all Christians pray that he is successful, but I don't really think that's the case. Their own pride blinds them to the fact that God may not be operating the way that they expect him to operate. You see, God is ambidextrous. He's the originator of the idea of sleight of hand. He fooled Satan into crucifying his son. I wonder what the odds at Vegas were on God coming out on the winning side of that power play. Oh, but his ways are not our ways. Perhaps someday we will realize that he plays by his own set of rules and that it is foolish to ever think that we have the creator figured out. I became aware of politics 55 years ago today when JFK had his head cracked wide open in Dealey Plaza. In my mind, I was always referred to that as the day America died, because since that time, our government has become a secret operation. The real truth of what was going on behind the curtain has been hidden from the American people. The Kennedy assassination was the first of many deep state operations pulled on the American people. Our elected officials no longer run the government. I'll say that again. Our elected officials no longer run the government. Most are hired simply to make sure that the government continues to run according to their plan. The deep state, swamp, shadow government that we all pray President Trump is committed to draining. We will know very soon which team he is playing for. Let me take the peel off of the potato. Like so many of you, I've waited patiently for 2 years for the hammer to drop. I followed QAnon and all the insiders dropping breadcrumbs as to what was really going on behind the scenes. Trust session. Trust Q. Trust the plan. Well, I have trusted them all, and it's now time for the president to crap or get off of it. Apparent to anyone who's paying attention that the corruption in our government runs very deep, 55 years deep. It's clear that we have not had a real president since that fateful day in Dallas. I find it ironic that the battle has now gone full circle. It appears to me that Donald Trump is fighting the same group that President Kennedy warned us about, that military-industrial complex. But in 55 years since Kennedy was blown away, that political swamp of miscreants has metastasized, become so entrenched that it's nearly impossible to dislodge them. The way I see it, President Trump is our last hope. If he's a fraud, a bought and paid for agent of the Rockefellers and Rothschild bankers, then our ship is already sunk. Call me naive, call me foolish, call me a sellout. But if Donald Trump is pulling our chain, then our nation has long since been lost. We're about to find out where he stands. We will soon know which team he is quarterbacking. This is where the rubber meets the road. To classify the FISA, expose the criminal activities of the high-level deep staters at work in the Alphabet Agency. Expose for the world the criminal activities of those who were sworn to protect and serve. Perp walk. Show the American people the dark underbelly of our election process and the treasonous crimes of those who have manipulated the American system. Restore the rule of law. Establish justice. Do away with a multi-level criminal justice system. Return the government to the people. Anything else is window dressing. Pray for him, even if you don't like him. Pray he is God's man. What he does in the next 30 days will show us which team the president really plays. That's the question, isn't it, fellas? Isn't that the question?
Amen.
And Coach, you know, in there you said you believe he's our last chance. Well, I can hear the satanic social clubs out there saying, no, God and Jesus are our only hope, only chance. But guess what? Throughout the history of the Bible, God uses people to accomplish his actions.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. And Larry, you know what else? You guys know this is true. These people griping and moaning about President Trump are the same Christians who won't pray for him. They won't pray for him because they hope he fails. David, they won't admit it, but they hope he fails. Because if he's successful, all of these prophets standing in the pulpits got it wrong, see? Instead of us seeing the big picture and understand what he's fighting, hey, we may be backing the wrong horse. He may be a Trojan horse. We don't know, but we do know this. If he is a Trojan horse, we're screwed anyway.
Hey, Coach, can I throw an opinion on there?
Sure, Dale.
Brother, I didn't vote for Donald Trump, but I believe what you said. He is God's man. He doesn't need to be the man of God. And just going back, actually, I was watching a video this morning of Donald Trump on the Oprah Winfrey show way back in the day. You can hear his passion back then about how he didn't like what was happening to America. And I believe that that was the case. But I believe that he is in office, and I believe that there's people in his, even in his inner circle, brother, they have been engrafted. I believe Jeff Sessions was part of the problem, even though Donald Trump trusted in these guys. I believe when you go back to John F. Kennedy back 50-something years, these people are like a tree. Those roots go deep and they grow, go wide. And brother, he is standing there alone with just an axe in his hand. And it's a big tree to chop down, because I believe that many of the people that are in Washington, D.C., that swamp is bigger than what he thinks. And there's a lot of people, like I said, that I believe that say they're on his team are actually trying to set him up for failure also.
Hey, Dale, but we know this. If he is not on our team, we're screwed, aren't we? If he's not on our team. If he is just merely a plant playing for the other team, as many of my Christian friends say, we're screwed anyway.
In my spirit, I just don't believe that he is. Once again, I'm speaking from a person who didn't vote for him, but I would pull the lever tomorrow for him, because I truly see the man's heart and I see the work that he is trying to do. But I believe this thing is, I truly believe it's bigger than him. I believe it's bigger than what he even thought itself to be. That's just my opinion.
It's a 55-year-old cancer that he's trying to. Hey, Jared, listen, I just sense you something. I'm not going to play this, guys, but I want Jared to put this up on the screen. So when you have a chance today, this is kind of what prompted me to write this. This was, I think it's the SGT report. I don't know if you guys know or are familiar with the SGT. It's 47 minutes long. Okay? 47 minutes long. Take time and watch this today. Take time to watch, because Robert David Steele, whether you trust him or not, I don't care. He lays it all out to the point that I am saying to you, if Donald Trump doesn't do some of the things I just spoke about in the next 30 days, then we know he's on the other team. We know he is. Now, some of the things he hasn't done because the timing wasn't right. The proper judges weren't in place. It just was not the perfect timing. But if something does, we will know between now and Christmas whether Donald Trump, which team he's playing. That's all I'm saying. And I say, I believe he's God's man. And I'm going to say this again, too. If you've not listened to Hagman and Hagman, the second half hour of Hagman and Hagman 2 nights ago, where Paula White is on there, well, I'm not a Paula White fan, who talks about her 20-year history of relationship with Donald Trump. That's a must hear as well. So you listen to those two things, and that's why I can confidently say, I believe something is going to happen in the next 30 days. That's the way I see it.
Well, Dave, he's running out of excuses, and, you know, Q can only hold people off so long. I mean, I don't think everybody follows Q, but the clues that they're dropping, what they're trying to do, what the purpose of Q is, if you don't know, is to try to bring those deadheads up to speed and fill in some gaps for those inquiring minds such as myself. Mm-hmm. That explains what the process is going on behind the scenes. Or if it's not true, again, like you said, within the, you know, we're being led with a lot of breadcrumbs right to our own demise. But
here's why I think it's critical, see. January 1st, the new Congress takes place. If he doesn't fire that gun between now and then, it ain't going to happen with the new House of Representatives, right? And I tend to believe that something is going on behind the scenes. In fact, what I hear is December 5th is the date I hear. Now, listen, here's what I'm saying. What I wrote about today, we're soon going to know, isn't it? We're soon going to. If Hillary Clinton, folks, they're doing this Russian research on Trump when it's right in front of us, the collusion of the Clintons, yet nothing being done. Are you kidding me? So if nothing is done with the Clintons, we know. We know we're a bought and sold government, and whatever happens to us happens. That's my position. Somebody else.
Well, I agree with you fully, Coach, that if the trigger isn't pulled now, then we are screwed and we've been played.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, George.
You know, either way, you're right. We're going to know. But, you know, we've talked about this for 2 years that Trump, many of us believe, is a doorstop. And it's really up to we the people, repentance in our nation. Can we turn really quickly to Leviticus 18:28? If we pull that up.
Leviticus 13:18?
No, Leviticus 18:28, because I think this ties in with what we're talking about.
Okay.
Do you have it pulled up?
Yep.
I did on my phone, but I lost it. If you can read that, then I'll just make a comment on it.
Okay, 27 says, "For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled." Verse 28, "That the land spew not you out also, when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you."
Yes, okay. So Donald Trump, whether he's totally legit or not, God's word tells us, because his word never changes, it says that if for the vileness of the land, the land's going to spew you out. That's happened to every nation that has defiled itself and dishonored God. So it's not necessarily God doing it. He's made the earth so that the earth can't tolerate the vileness and it spews you out. So it really, again, comes back to we the people, we the Christians, we the remnant. Are we really serious about repenting before God on behalf of our nation, or are we not? Because Donald Trump can't do it for 330 million Americans on his own, whether he's legit or not.
Yeah, now, again, comes back to the church, right? Only the church can make America great again. It's the same theme song that we've been singing for a while. I'm sorry, I got to cover it. I'm sorry. Only the church can make America great again. It's a wake-up call to the church. The church, for the most part, still doesn't have it figured out. Yeah, Slurry, I know there's satanic social clubs. I know, I get it. I understand that. But it's the church. The church. Now, I want to show you something else. Jared, pull up what Republicans could have done. Yeah, folks, you do understand, don't you? Well, hang on a second. You do understand, don't you, that Donald Trump really has been a man without a country. The Republican Party has not been in support of Donald Trump. Not the Paul Ryans. Not they really haven't. The Paul Ryan, did you know this? Probably don't. Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, did nothing, gave no money to reelect those 40 seats that were Republican seats, did nothing to try to hold the House for the president. Nothing. So Paul Ryan being part of the deep state, that in military industrial conflict, that's where the battle is. Go. Is that you, Larry? Somebody tried to come in?
Yeah, I have a question for you, Coach, for your thoughts on it. If Trump doesn't pull the trigger on the FISA thing and you know, reveal exactly whose side he's on by the 5th of December, is it still worth an effort for a massive showing of the remnant to show up on Trump's doorstep at the White House demanding he do so?
Amen, buddy. Yeah, let's go. Yeah. But see, that to me, that's going to be here's my take. Okay. I think he's his own man. I think he used to mess around with the Rothschild. I think he's missed. I think his fingers are in all that pie. You'd be a fool to say that it aren't. It isn't. I believe it is. But I think when push came to shove, when he stepped back and he ran for office and he saw the assault come upon his family, and he saw the assault from the left, when he saw all that stuff, I think deep down in Donald Trump's heart, are you ready? I think he's an SOB. And I think he's a get even kind of guy. And I think he's seen them. They've tried to ruin his family. They've tried to ruin his businesses. I think he's a get even kind of guy. And I think he is not going to go whimpering into that dark night. I think that he is hell bent on revenge. That is his history. That's the way he plays. So for me, for him to lay back and not do something is just totally, completely out of character.
Coach, can I put myself and others on the spot here for just a second?
Sure.
I want to say, if we don't see evidence of Trump's on our side by the December 5th, I'm going to put my hand up. I'm willing to show up in Washington, D.C. between the 5th and the 25th.
Yeah, I'll go.
Put pressure on him. If the remnant in this queue, if we can't get enough out of the remnant in this queue, it's an indication of what the percentage is we're going to get amongst the remnant across the country.
Hey, Larry, listen, this is 55 years later, the exact same cancer that President Kennedy was talking about. It's 55 years later, it's the exact same thing. And it's about the restoration and salvation of our republic. I believe it that deeply. I believe it that deeply. And well, I am in a position, I don't know about you, I'm in a position now where I have to trust that President Trump is the guy that's going to
do it. How many of the 42 in this room will go with Coach and I?
Yeah.
Are you asking how many?
I'm asking for a show of hands.
Oh, hell. Let's do it. gas is in the van. Let's go.
All right, babe. Amen.
The truck can roll. I'll be there.
We'll raise up others.
We're not going to need it. It's going to happen.
I think it is, too. Let me show you something here, fellas. What the Republicans could have done. This is written by Lawrence Vance. This is, I want you to understand that the two-party system is phony. There is no two-party system. It is them against us. It's them against us. It's not a two-party system. Because if it really was a two-party system, and they had a hold of the House, and they had a hold of the Senate, and they had the presidency, Lawrence Vance writes down here some things that they could have done. Scroll down through this, Jared, and you tell me if this just isn't common sense. Okay, let's see. So it says here, he makes the point, listen, he makes the point, if the Republican Party was really a Republican Party, here, huh? And not part of the deep state, not all controlled by special interests, if they really was a Republican Party, if there wasn't just one unified party in D.C., here's what would have happened. You tell me if this guy's crazy. One, they would have repealed Obamacare in its entirety. They had the House and the Senate and the presidency. They would have abolished the National Endowment of the Arts. They would abolish the National Endowment for the Humanities. They would have eliminated refundable tax credits. They would have eliminated the Department of Education. They would have stopped cash welfare payments. They would cease funding any scientific research on climate change. They would have means test on all welfare programs. They would abolish the TSA and return the airport security to the private sector. They would have eliminated the CAFE standards. They would allow people to sell their bodily organs upon their death. They would defund Planned Parenthood. They would end the federal war on marijuana and leave the issue up to the states. They would end the embargo against Cuba and allow Americans to freely travel there. They would eliminate all foreign aid. They would end all restrictions on the production of hemp. They would eliminate all the funding for manned and unmanned missions to Mars. They would privatize the National Railroad Passenger Corporation, Amtrak. They would abolish the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and they would end all farm subsidies. And this, and the American, the Republicans certainly could have eliminated daylight savings time. Now, that, folks, that's what Trump's, that's what the Republican team has always said they were going to do. And Lawrence Vance said they could have done all that, and they didn't do any of it. Why? Because it's a false dichotomy. They're not really. It's false opposition. They didn't do any of it. And now what do they say? Golly, we would sure like to defund Planned Parenthood. We can't do it because we lost control of the House. Doggone it. If we'd have just kept control, you understand? See what's going on to us? So nothing new under the sun. Somebody come in here.
Absolutely, Coach. I've dealt with that stuff up here in Baton Rouge in Louisiana, bringing forth personhood amendments only to have the so-called brothers in Christ throw us under the bus and not only run over us, but back over us. To sit here and say things like Roe versus Wade could have been an overturn. Are you kidding me? It was a Republican Supreme Court that was in place when it was enacted a false law. And it's been a Republican Supreme Court since that very day. And nothing has changed. All they have done is continue to solidify this garbage. And I believe you're right. It's us against them. It's not a Republican Democrat, but that's where they keep us divided, the people divided, by keeping us under the R or the D, when in all actuality, it's us against them.
Did you see where John Roberts came out and criticized the president for speaking
against absolutely
Conan Obama judges? This is the same guy who rewrote healthcare. He rewrote it on his own. This is the same guy, right? And when Obama stood up and criticized the judges, you didn't hear John Roberts' mouth yapping. Why? Because it's all the same team. And Trump's not on that team. That's the way I read it.
Well, not to mention, they could have repealed the crap. What was that thing they did? Okay, it was 9/11. I had this stupid thing.
Patriot Act.
Patriot Act. They could have repealed that too. You know, look, we lose more rights, more freedoms under Republicans than we do under Democrats. Because, see, when Republicans get in office, we relax. We allow things happen. Now, one thing that you can overall, too, we talk about going down to Washington, D.C. and all this kind of stuff. We can't even get 100 people come down here for abortion.
Right. Well, please understand this also. We're the ones that are working. Like, I'm a vocation pastor. I actually work, so I can't just pull up stake and go do stuff because I got to keep on paying that government so they can pay these welfare checks to people who do nothing. But, okay. Coach, here's what I was just praying in my spirit just sprung up. We're about to encounter an Elijah moment. Trump is going to stand down Mount Carmel, and he's going to have to cry out to the Lord because it's the Lord only that's going to deliver this mess.
Amen, Dale. And you know what I just saw? They hate this new AG, Whitaker. And you know why they hate Whitaker, Dale? I don't know if you saw this. Whitaker wrote a position paper on interposition, the right of the states to tell the government to go pound sand. No wonder they hate him. Do you guys understand the significance of that? That Whitaker said not only is interposition, not only is with state rights, not only is it valuable today, it was deeply embedded in the U.S. Constitution that it's the rights of the states to say to the feds, not here. And Trump.
Interposition. And the problem with the interposition, brother, it's going to cost somebody. And that's what they're not willing to give up. When you look at the lions being fed the Christians in the Colosseum, what caused it to stop that day? Was the interposition. I cannot remember the man's name, but he came out of the seats and went down there and put himself over that man's body. That day, the feeding of Christians in the Roman Colosseum stopped because of a man's interposition, and it cost him his life.
Mm-hmm. So you guys understand interposition, right? See, interposition is already going on. Marijuana is a federal offense, but not in Colorado, right? And some of these things that we just, this same cabal, the Warren Court, somebody say amen on the Warren Court. I'm showing my age now. The Warren Court was the court that was in power when John F. Kennedy is speaking against the media industrial complex. It is the same thing. The Supreme Court has been stolen away from the people and given to special interests. Dare I say it? What did Kennedy call it? Not secret societies. We don't even want, you bring up secret societies today, we don't even want to believe in it. And there's the president talking about secret societies. And if they've infiltrated, opposed to secret societies, who've yielded, gained control and power. It's exactly the point he was making. And today, if I say that, I have to wear this. I have to wear this if I talk about secret societies. But the president of the United States, 55 years ago, told us to be aware of secret society.
Well, that's why the Bush-Kerry election was such a farce, because both of them were the members of the same secret society, the Skull and Crossbones.
You watch that SGT report, and Robert Steele says George H.W. Bush, Poppy Bush, is and was one of the most evil men ever to step foot in Washington, D.C. Because, well, this is another, that's gone down another whole thing. Somehow outside, somehow empathy doesn't exist inside of them. There's no empathy. None. They've lost the ability to feel sorry, to understand your plight. Bill Clinton felt your pain, but he didn't. Bill Clinton felt your pain, but he would have screwed your wife. Right? Right? See, that's what we're talking about. I shouldn't use that word. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Michelle. I shouldn't have said that word. Somebody mad at me now.
Another good court case. See, I believe it even goes before John F. Kennedy, the Wilkert and I think it was Filbert case back in the 1930s that dealt with, because this is powerful. He not only owns the power, but food. And this was the agricultural thing that gave the government this unlimited power, which you're talking about releasing the federal restraints on the farmers. That back in the 1930s, brother, was, and I've talked with attorneys, they're like, this is the one that nobody talks about. But this made a huge federal beast out of our court system and our government.
Jared, please put that YouTube video, that Robert, that SGT report, please put it in the, yes, put that in the chat or someplace where folks listen. I wouldn't tell you to listen to this. It wasn't worth your time. Now, here's what I'm saying. You listen to this SGT report with Robert Steele, and it'll verify what I just said. We're going to know. We're going to know in 30 days which team President Trump's playing on. And he lays the whole thing out. He says, here's what's got to happen. If this happens, he's the right man. If it doesn't happen, we know. We know what's going on. Very, very fascinating. So, man, here it's kind of odd here, isn't it, on Thanksgiving that I'd be talking about this stuff? But to me, Thanksgiving comes and goes. But this blight on America from 55 years ago, even probably before that, that blight still remains. A cancer. America will never be great if that cancer is not removed. Psalm 103, I want to kind of finish up on this, Jared. Psalm 103. My wife, I'm just going to say this because my wife read it to me as I was going down. So I always, we have a lot to be thankful for. We are, we do. Psalm of David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. That's Thanksgiving Day. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Wow, that word all is in there. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. I'm going to eat me some pie today. It's going to be a willful decision. So that the youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment. for all that are oppressed. I'm going to tell you something. The Lord sees what's going on. He ain't pleased with it. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Toward who? Toward everybody? So great is his mercy to everybody sitting there in that church? No, no. Towards those that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Everybody, he pitieth everybody, loves everybody, pitieth everybody. No, he pitieth those that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembers we're dust. As for a man, his days are as grass, the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it's gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. Wow. They had to put an X on Dealey Plaza so we'd remember. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Who? Everybody? All God's children? On them that fear him. And his righteousness unto my children's children, unto my grandkids. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. To such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments, do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord. All his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. That's Thanksgiving, Aaron, boys and girls.
You know, there's a reason 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God. It doesn't say love God. It says fear God. I think the writer of 1 Peter, who was Peter, had read Psalms 103.
The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, is it not? Well, we have lost that in America today. We have lost it. Folks, we are living right now, November 22nd, 2018, I believe in the depth of my being that within the next 30 days, we are going to see things like we have never, ever seen in America. If there is going to be such an upheaval in America in the next 30 days, you better buckle up. You better buckle up. I don't know how it's going to look like. I don't know how I don't know. But it's going to be exposed for us very clearly. Which team everybody's on, we're going to be able to see it very, very clearly. Because the Lord tells us that there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Nothing hidden. It's all going to be exposed. It's all going to be rolled out. And the Lord, in his mercy, is going to pull us all through it. Have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy your family, man. That's what it's all about. Enjoy your family. I'm going to eat turkey. I'm going to eat pie. I'm going to eat another pie. I'm going to eat ice cream. I'm going to eat pecan pie. I'm going to eat a lot today. Premeditated gluttony. I'm going to do it today. Enjoy your family. Thank God that he still rules and reigns in the heavens. Praise God he does. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow morning.